Gospel of John, John chapter 8, John chapter 8 is where we're at. All right, I have put a fair amount of study into this passage. It was quite a study. But I would say it was a difficult study, just to kind of get everything in, so that, in hopes and prayers that it would get to you. That's my prayer, and I'll just be very honest with you. I'm a little apprehensive, like, Lord, how am I going to get this to them so that they can get it? Because for me, I just really wrestled with this. This passage, it's an amazing passage. I enjoyed the study, and yet my burden is that you get it. And so, can we take just a moment to ask God to do that? Because I can't do it, honestly. I know that I don't have an ability to be able to get this message to you and to your heart, but I do know that the Holy Spirit has the power to do it. And so my prayer is just that that would happen. Dan, would you be willing to stand and just pray for those things? Here's what to pray for. Let's pray that God would give me the words and the way to get it so that I can get it to you all. And then that the Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts and so then we get it. Okay? Would you pray for that so we get that connection, please? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's see. David and Andrew, you're in the back there. Do you guys have liberty to leave the technology for a moment and come up here for a minute? Will that work? If something happens drastic, then it's my fault because they're supposed to be back there manning this, okay? So David and Andrew are going to come up and just going to use a very quick illustration, okay? All right. They're going to come up here. And if you guys could come right up here, and I want you to stand a couple feet apart and look at each other, okay? No, there's not a mirror in between them. Okay. All right. Have you ever heard two young people? Now, I think these guys are too old to have a conversation like this, but have you ever heard two people have a conversation like this, all right? David, when I say, okay, I'm ready, then I want you to look at Andrew and say, my dad is stronger than your dad, okay? Now, when you say that, then Andrew, immediately, I want you to look right back at him and say, no, my dad is stronger than your dad. Okay, go.
My dad is stronger than your dad.
No, my dad is stronger than your dad.
Now, what do you guys think about that? Well, let's find out. Roger, why don't you? No, just kidding. All right, you guys can go back and sit down. Okay, now, we know that that was a little humorous to start off with, okay? Because we know that they have the same dad, right? Okay. And there's no way to find out if Roger's stronger than Roger, because Roger just is, right? He is. And so, but have you ever heard some young people say that? You know, they have kids, they do that, especially boys. I don't know too many girls that do that. Maybe the girls say, my mom can cook better. They probably don't say that. But I do know that young boys will say, you know, and it's not a bad thing, because shouldn't young boys look up to their dads? They should. I remember looking up to my dad. And my dad was nothing, you know, physically amazing. My dad is, what is he, 5'5", 5'4", something like that. And he was very small, you know, growing up. He was a wrestler, and I think he wrestled at like 120 or something like that. And so he was naturally a smaller guy. But you know, it didn't matter how, and when I got into high school, I far exceeded my dad's size. I really did. I was several inches taller. I know you look at me as short and say that you were tall. Yeah, I was taller than somebody. So I was taller than my dad, and I weighed much more than my dad. Even in junior high, I think I passed my dad up, really, probably when I was in, you know, sixth or seventh grade. I passed my dad up. And so that was interesting. I was bigger than my dad was at that age. But, you know, I always looked at my dad as someone that was just absolutely amazing. I always did. And I think that is something that is kind of natural, right? It's just like we look up. And by the way, young people, you ought to. You say, well, I know that my dad, you know, we all know that our dad isn't the strongest person in the world. We all know that he's not the smartest person in the world. We all know that he's not everything. But there's some area of respect that we look up to him and reverence him as that one. And I honestly thought that my dad could really do anything. I would go hunting with my dad, and we would go into the mountains. And you know, unlike Pennsylvania, where you sit in a tree stand and you wait for the deer to come to you, in the mountains of Wyoming, we had thousands of acres, and we would go find them. And so I remember one specific time getting up with my dad early, early, early in the morning, driving up to the top of the mountain, and we started walking. We were elk hunting. We were just south of Jackson. Some of you have heard of Jackson, Wyoming, and Jackson Hole is the ski resort there. Yellowstone, just above that. We're talking right below that. We would go up elk hunting for a week at a time, and I remember getting up early in the morning with my dad, and we would get up to the very top of the mountain before it got light. You know, why would we have to do that? You know, but that was what my dad wanted to do. We were up at the top of the mountain before it would get light. In fact, we probably had half an hour to wait before it was light, and then we would begin walking in the dark, and we had to get to the spot, you know, we wanted to, but it wasn't just a spot. We would walk all day. All day, and I'm not joking, we would pack our lunch and we would walk all day. You know, we would start walking at whatever time in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would walk all day long. We'd stop and take a break here, and we would just keep walking. And we would walk until it was dark at night, and we would make our way back to either the truck or back to camp. And I used to think, man, my dad is amazing. My dad could outwalk anybody. Not that that's an accomplishment, but my dad could just, I would be so tired, and I would be so whatever, and my dad would just keep going. I thought that dad could drive better than anybody else. It was like I was always a fearful passenger, you know, and I still am. I have a hard time trusting other people driving, and so. But my dad, I could honestly just go to sleep when my dad was driving because I trusted my dad. My dad, he was just one of these guys that I know in reality he couldn't do everything, but as a young person, I thought that my dad could do everything, and so it would be very natural for a young person to say my dad is. But the problem is we get some young boys, and they get together, and they look at their dad, and they think that way. But the other family, the other kids, they look at their dad, and they think that their dad. And so what do? My dad can beat your dad. My dad can beat your dad. Now, that sounds like a very elementary thing to do. I don't think that David and Andrew would do that. But you know, this is what the Jews did with their fathers. They hear in this passage, they pull Jesus into this debate. Now, I will say this, Jesus didn't join the debate. They pulled him in. But they got into this competition, not on Jesus' side, but on their side of who was greater. And we're going to talk about that illustration as we go. I want you to keep that illustration in your mind about young kids saying, my dad is stronger than your dad, or my dad is smarter than your dad, or my dad can beat your dad, or, you know, and all this stuff. And so let's get into this passage and let's see how this makes sense. The Jewish people. I don't know if you're familiar with John. John is a book where we try to discover who Jesus is. That is a big topic in the Gospel of John, of who he is and declaring who he is, right? He is the Messiah. He was a man, but he was God in his deity. And that's really a big part and point that John tries to accomplish. Who is he? And he starts off in chapter 1, and there's a lot of statements that are made on who he is. And so that's what chapter 1 is who is he? And he's declared, I think that there's 7 or so statements of different not names, but titles or references of who he is. Chapter 1 is who he is. In the next many chapters, if we were going to chapters 2 to 10, we look at a number of things, of claims of who he is, and then some things that Jesus demonstrated to prove that claim. And so when we look at the next many chapters, so chapter 1 is who is he? This is who he is. When we go down through the list, there's a number of things that take place. There's a claim that was made. There was something demonstrated, and then there was a choice. We see the miracle at Cana at the wedding. We see Jesus in the temple with the money changers. We see Nicodemus as a teacher and Jesus confronting his heart about being born again. We see the woman at the well and Jesus claiming to be the living water. And all of these things we see Jesus claims. There were many signs and controversies that took place. There were 4 times or things that were celebrated in the coming chapters. There was a paralyzed man that the Jewish leaders challenged the Sabbath and his deity. There was Jesus' claim to be the bread of life during the Passover. There was the light of the world that we talked about last week during the Feast of Tabernacles. And then there was the temple, and he was the temple during the Feast of Hanukkah. And we have all of this, and there were all of these things were confronting who Jesus was. He would make a claim, he would demonstrate, and people had a choice. What am I going to do with this claim? The Jewish people, we could go back to these people. They had heard from the beginning of who he was. Moses in the wilderness at the burning bush, God claimed who he was. And what was his answer? Who was he? I am. I am that I am. And they got that and they learned of who God was. They learned of who Jehovah was. I am. And they took that, but folks, I want to tell you, and they really attached themselves to different things that God had given. God had given Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the Jewish people looked up to these people. God had given them Moses. Did the Jewish people look up to Moses? They did. They looked up to Moses. And then through Moses, God gave the law. And did the Jewish people elevate the law and look up to the law? They did. And they took all of these things. They took things that were very good. Was Abraham a good thing for the Jewish people? Yes. Was Moses a good thing for the Jewish people? Yes. Was the law, not a trick question, was the law a good thing for the people? Yes. And there was nothing wrong with these things. However, I want you to think through this. The Jewish people, though, took them too far. Again, was Abraham and Moses in law, were these good things? Yes. Even the law, you say, what was good about the law? The Bible says that there was nothing wrong about the law. What was the part about the deal that was wrong? It was mankind. It was our hearts, right? We're the ones that ruin it. The purpose of the law was to be our schoolmaster and to show us what? Show us our inability, to show us ourself, to show us our sin, to show us, hear this phrase, our own way is bad. Now keep that in mind, because these Jewish people attached themselves so much not to Yahweh. Now think about this. You say, Pastor, they were all about Yahweh. Well, Yahweh gave them Abraham. Were they all about Abraham? They were all about Abraham. In fact, if you look at John chapter 8, you'll see Abraham come up many times. And we've already established, was Abraham good for the Jewish people? Yes, he was. He was good. But was Abraham, was Moses, was the law the end? You see, that was the problem. Was because these Jewish people, they looked, what the problem was they started off by following Yahweh. God gave them tools or people to help them follow Yahweh, but they missed Yahweh and followed the thing that God gave them as a tool to follow Yahweh. So God gave them Abraham. Did they follow Abraham? Oh, yes, Abraham. And if you're a Jewish person, you don't say Abraham, you say Avraham. Oh, and there is that thing. I listened to that name pronounced by Hebrews this week because I want to say it wasn't Abraham. It was Ah. And the B wasn't a B, it was a V. It was Av. And then Ra. And then Ham. But when you get to the H, there's this Listen, it was Avraham. Say it with me. Avraham. Oh, you'd make great Jewish people. And every time the name Avraham was mentioned, it was almost like Avraham. Now, was the problem with Avraham? Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And then there was Moses. Moses who led the people. And Moses. And they would go back to Moses. And they would go back to the law. Now, hold on for a moment. Were these people really so focused on Abraham, Moses, the law? Did they really love those so much? I would argue no. Because I'll tell you that Abraham, he believed God. And I know that Abraham did not understand everything about the coming Messiah and what his name would be. Abraham could not because he was an individual. But he believed that God would provide a lamb. He believed in God that he would do that, did he not? He trusted in Yahweh. He trusted in Yahweh that God would meet needs. He knew it. He knew the Messiah was coming, and he placed his faith and trust in God. There was nothing wrong with Abraham. And honestly, if the Jewish people would have really followed Abraham, they would have followed Yahweh. The issue was not Abraham. Did they love Moses? They seem to pull Moses out of the hat all the time when they're talking with Jesus. Well, Moses said this. Right? Didn't they say that? But Moses said this. Now, I want you know, was Moses perfect? No, Moses was not perfect. But did Moses trust God? Did Moses choose God over the things of the world? Oh, he did. And he's in the Hall of Faith for it. Because Moses took not his own thing, but he took God's thing, and he followed God instead of the life that he could have had, right? Oh, but the Jewish people, they followed Moses. No, they didn't. If they would have followed Moses, then they would have denied themselves and they would have followed Yahweh also. A Jewish individual during the time of Jesus would have definitely elevated the law, right? The law. Don't you dare go against the law, right? The law, you did this. Jesus, you just did that work and it was on the Sabbath. He could not be who he claims to be because he defiled the law. Oh, the Jewish person elevated the law, but did they really love the law? My friend, I'll tell you, it was not Abraham and it was not Moses and it wasn't the law. Let's look at this chapter to see who it was or what was it. Jesus gives the people lots of opportunities to accept him or reject him. Here in John chapter 8, Jesus is making claims of who he is. We have already heard him say, even in just this chapter, that he is the light of the world. He has said already that he's the bread of life. He has made other claims. He has been heard, it's been heard that he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. People, claims are being made, and people have choices of what they're going to choose. Here we have this one, Jesus. And there's clearly a mixed and confused crowd. If you look at John chapter 8 and verse 30, we see some of the responses. Now, I'm just telling you in context. I did the study. You just follow. John chapter 8 is a series of things of Jesus claiming, acting certain things, and the people are made a choice. There's people that are hearing what Jesus is saying. Some are believing, and some are rejecting, and some are asking more questions because they're, are they really trying to figure out, or are they opposing? I say they're opposing, but there's a mixed group of people. You see in verse 30 when Jesus has confronted them about some things, that even some would even say. He says in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him, right? There were some that were believing. They would hear Jesus' claims. They say, you know what? I believe him. I believe he was the truth, and the truth came, and he was there to set them free. Actually, that's brought up, and he said, how can we be free? We've never been in prison before. We've never been in bondage, they ask. These people love to bring up Moses. They love to bring up Abraham. Good people, good things, but completely far from what either Moses or Abraham really stood for. And who did Moses and Abraham and the law stand for? God. Yahweh. They stood for that. They loved that, but they didn't understand what they stood for. They claimed to be for God. Would a Jewish person claim to be for Yahweh? Of course they would. Yahweh, he is ours. You know, they wouldn't pronounce it, but they would claim him. Yet they would not comply with God. Isn't that the history of the Jewish people? Did these people have a history of not complying with Yahweh? They did. Over and over, God would give them things. He would tell them things. And they were confronted with him. Did the people follow Yahweh? No, they didn't. They claimed him, but they would not follow him. Rather, they followed someone else. Therefore, they truly were not for Abraham or Moses. Does that make sense when I say that? When I say that they weren't truly for Moses and Abraham and the law, do you understand what I mean? I try to just set that up. They claimed Abraham. They claimed Moses. They claimed the law. Yet every one of those things, the backbone of those three was Yahweh. Did they really attach themselves to Yahweh? Conclusion? No. Listen, to be for Abraham is to be for Yahweh. To be for Moses is to be for Yahweh. To be for the law even is to be for Yahweh because it's a part of his plan that would point people to who? Let me say that again. Some of you are right. God would give the law so that the people would recognize they could not do the law, and it would point them to who? Jesus Christ. Were these people for the law? They were not for the law, because the law brings people to Christ. They weren't for it. They were not for it. Who were they for? Well, these people were not for God. They were only, listen to this, this is key. They were only for God on their own terms. Only if God fits into my way. So Abraham, Moses, and the law. They were only really for those three if it was their way. If you go back to Abraham and all the stories and the people, if you go back to Moses, and if you go back to the law, which Moses and the law are right around the same time, if you go back to them, did those people comply and just follow the way they were supposed to? No. They had problem after problem after problem after problem, and here they claim them. Now in John chapter 8, we've got the same group of people now, years and years and years later. Jesus has come onto the scene, making claims, demonstrating himself. Jesus is saying, this is who I am, and they are saying no, and they're going back to their fathers, and they're saying, in a sense, my dad's bigger than your dad. Jesus is not biting into it, and he's not putting up his dukes and trying to fight. He's simply making claims. In fact, it's amazing. It amazes me that Jesus here is coming to them, and he's going to make some amazing statements. Statements of mercy. Look with me at... Let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 51. I'm going to read... Well, let me read that. John chapter 8 and verse 51. All right, let's look at this. Verily, verily, when Jesus says verily, verily, what does that mean? Listen up, okay? It's going to be the truth. I'm going to give you some, he makes a statement here. Verily, verily, in other words, you listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Was that an amazing claim that Jesus is making in front of these people? You'll never see death? Absolutely it was. And this confronted so much of these people's life. How so? Because he was attacking, listen to this, he was attacking their way. How did he attack their way? Now follow with me as I read the next several verses, okay? I already read 51, okay? And then said the Jews unto him. Okay, so Jesus has said, he just said, let me read it again, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now that's an amazing statement. Now the people are always going to think of physical, right? They're going to think of the physical, and they do. But Jesus just claimed, if you follow my way, you won't die. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. And who do they go to? You can just hear him say it. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. What are they really saying there? What are they saying? My dad's bigger than your dad. Listen, do you realize what you just said? If you're saying that a follower of Yahweh doesn't die, we know that Abraham died, therefore you're telling us what? And you're telling us that Abraham was no good. How dare you say that about my dad? Who are these people elevating over Jesus? Abraham, and I would suggest to you more so themselves, their way, because Abraham never claimed that. Moses never claimed it, nor did the law. They were the ones that elevated these people. It was always supposed to be Yahweh, and it was always pointing to Jesus Christ. Always. But these people sought their way. Continue on. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? This is just grown up from, do you think your dad can beat my dad? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are, is what they're saying. And you could just see two kids there, two little boys arguing, right? Now again, we're not putting this one on Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus is, he's doing the same thing. They are trying to pick this fight. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. That's what a humble statement. He said, listen, I'm not going to sit here and, he's standing here and says, listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend myself. It's not what I say, even though it was what he said, but what does he say? It's not what I say, it's what my dad says. It's what my father says. It's what he says. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Who do these people? Oh, these people attach themselves to Yahweh, right? He says, Yahweh says this about me. Are these people for Yahweh? No, they're not. They're not for Yahweh. 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I do know, I know him, and keep his saying. Then he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Okay, I've got an impossible task. Praise the Lord, it's only 2 points. There are two obstacles that are getting in the way of these Jewish people. As we read this passage, there are two things. There's an overestimation and an underestimation. With the dad illustration, there's always two parts. There's an overestimation and an underestimation. David is overestimating his side of things, right? Because we all think our dad is bigger and better. And we overestimate maybe the reality of it. But there's always an underestimation because although my dad is so big, your dad is small. 2 points. There's an overestimation and an underestimation to help you. I hope this will help you. This is not an easy passage to get to the core of what is really being said here and what's the main point. And I say the two main points are this, an overestimation, underestimation. Abraham was a good person and a good thing. We've already determined that. Abraham believed God and what he said, but the people used Abraham in the wrong way, and it was for their way. It was for their way. Notice in verse 52, they use this situation. You know, they're saying, my dad is stronger than your dad. He said, listen, we know that you've got a devil now because we know that Abraham died. And you're telling us that if Abraham died, because you just said that if we follow you, that we'll have life, we won't die. Abraham died. So you're saying, you're going against my dad. You're going against Abraham. You see, they were so focused on their dad Abraham. And Abraham, everybody listen, Abraham was not the problem. Don't leave here this morning thinking, pastor's saying Abraham's the problem. The problem is not Abraham, because did Abraham, if they would have followed Abraham, would they be following Yahweh? The answer is yes. Now, they're not talking about Moses here, but if they would have followed Moses, would they have been following Yahweh? Yes. If they would have followed the law the way they were supposed to follow the law, would they have been following Yahweh? The answer to all three is yes. Yes, they would have been following Yahweh. You see, the problem is they were twisting Abraham up. They didn't have a concept. They had an overestimation of Abraham. They actually had an overestimation of themselves. So often our way gets in the way of understanding who Jesus is. Let me put this down, because now you say, where is Pastor going with all of this? Folks, I want to tell you something. We know that we need Jesus. We know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, right? We know that he's the answer. You folks have grown up in church for most of your life, and you know the answer that Jesus is the way, right? The thing that gets in our way, there are two obstacles, is an overestimation of our understanding. Now listen, the reason why they mixed up Abraham is because they wanted their way in God's way. And they wanted to call it God's way. They wanted to claim Abraham, but they wanted to do it their way. Folks, there are many of us that want to live the Christian life today. We want to claim Jesus. We show up to church on Sunday and we sing, you know, praise to the Lord. And we worship the Lord and we stand up and we dress the way we dress and we do the right things and we go out, and yet we still claim Yahweh in our own way. And we feel that we can worship God on our own terms. And what happens is we are just like these Jewish people. Friends, I want to tell you, if there's something that God has put on your heart that you know that you're not doing that's right, and you're not worshiping him the right way, and you're not pleasing the Lord, you are just like these individuals that's trying to worship God in their own way, and you're claiming Abraham. And we're all impressed at the way you can roll that R. And we're impressed at the way you say that and how you comb your hair and everything. But folks, that disgusted Jesus, honestly. It's like, what are you doing? We cannot serve God and serve ourselves at the same time. It doesn't work. Folks, if there's an area and an issue in your life where there is sin and it's wrong, number one, we better call it sin. And not just say, it's not that big of a deal. My friend, I want to tell you, it is a big deal. If it's sin and it's wrong and Jesus had to die for it, then it's sin. And it's wrong for us in our pride to say, listen, it's not that big of a deal. That's exactly what these people are doing. They wanted to show up on Sunday. They wanted the preacher to think that they're a good person, but they were not willing to call their sin sin. And that disgusted God, and that's what's going on with these people. No difference than the Jewish people. You claim God. You claim Yahweh, and yet you want God on your terms. Listen, it's not that big of a deal if I do this. It's not that big of a deal if I allow myself to do that. I know it's not right, and I know he's not pleased with it. It's not that big of a deal. I'm glad that God is gracious, and I'm glad that God is merciful. And God's saying, listen, you got it wrong. And you know what we're doing? We're fighting God. And we're saying, listen, my way is better than your way. Many of us in our pride will not admit our sin. We will not take it and get it right because it's our way. And we overestimate our Abraham and our Moses and our life. No, I will have it on my terms. I will worship God on my terms. I will live my life and do it this way. I know God says this, but listen, this is the way I do it. This is the way I'm going to do it. And these people do it, but I'm going to do it this way. That's what these people did. And I'm telling you, they weren't getting it. And that was an obstacle. Listen, that was an obstacle in their faith. It kept them from who? It kept them from who? Jesus. It kept them from Jesus. See, they couldn't recognize him. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it because they were on their way. So we overestimate our way, and it keeps us from Jesus. By the way, Abraham, Moses, and the law are not the end. They are means to the end. And the end is Jesus. We have overestimation, but there was an underestimation. Their underestimation of his way. Look at verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast thou seen Abraham? Okay, was, 50 years old. Now, this is not a statement saying that Jesus, of how old he was. We know that he's probably around 33 right now. It's just the end of his, in his 30s. We know that he only had a couple years of his ministry, so he's just a young man in his 30s, early 30s. And so the estimation, some say that the Jewish leaders here, Pharisees, bring up the 50. The 50 mark was because that was a sign in the Jewish person that he was finally mature. Now, not the age of 12, bar mitzvah, but the age of 50 was he's finally reached the spiritual maturity that he's supposed to be at. And so what they're saying is, they're looking at him and he's just saying, you're talking about Abraham. You're not even spiritually mature to talk about him. You see what they're doing? The first point is they overestimated themselves, and now we underestimate who he is. You can't even. Do you know that in our lives so many times we underestimate what Jesus can do? I'm skipping some things because we're about out of time. Folks, I want you to know, I'm getting to the practical. So many times we underestimate who Jesus is, just like those people. You're not even 50. You're not even mature to be talking about these things. Do you know that we do that with Jesus all the time? We get in life situations and we struggle and we worry and fear. And when we worry and fear, we are saying, Jesus, you can't even take this problem and do anything with it. You're not able. Now, I don't know that anybody in the room would say that Jesus is not able, but when we worry, we are saying that Jesus is not able. You can't do this. I've got to do this on my own. I'm going to have to come up with a way. And the same problem, the overestimation and the underestimation are both pride. They're both pride. And on this side of things, we say, he can't even do this in my life. He can't even do that. And I'm going to have to do this. And boo-hoo, I'm never going to get this. And I'm never going to get this provided. And we can't see this happening. And I guess Jesus just doesn't care. I guess he's just not with me. And we lose. And you know what it is? It's an obstacle to the one that came to help us. Jesus, it's amazing here. Jesus is coming to these fighting people that are going like this. And he's saying, listen, if you take me, you'll never see death. If you take me, you'll have life. You'll be satisfied for life. Listen, I've come to help you. And these people keep saying, yeah, well, we're bigger than you would. And you can't do anything. Folks, many of us are in the same place. Overestimation, underestimation. We overestimate who we are and what our way is. We underestimate his ability and his authority and what he can do in our lives. And guess what it does? It keeps us from him. We're the ones that are building the wall. Many of you say, oh, I wish that Jesus would show up at my door and bless me. I wish that he would show up in my life. But yet we live in our way. We live in our pride. We underestimate what he can do. We don't trust him. And we build the wall. And Jesus is limited, if I can say. We can't limit Jesus, but we can limit him in our lives because we build a wall of unbelief. And that's exactly what these men are doing right here. I say, men, these Jewish people, they are building a wall up and they say, we will not believe who you are. We won't do it. Jesus ends with a bold answer. And so verse 58 is the highlight. Jesus said unto them, and again he says what? Now, this was the second time in a few verses that he says it. Now, it's almost like he stops and he looks at them all in the eye. Because they're going back and forth and they're overestimating their way. They're underestimating him. And he looks up in the eye and he says, verily, verily, he says, now, you listen. Listen. In other words, I'm going to give you the answer another time. Listen. And his answer is really amazing. What was it? Before Abraham was. Now, what does that mean? Before Abraham was, before Avraham was created. Isn't that interesting? Before Abraham was ever even created, what does that imply? There's somebody over Abraham, I'm sorry to tell you. It's devastating to tell a boy that there's somebody better than his dad. But the fact of the matter is it's probably true. The point is not to talk about dads. The point is, he says, listen, everybody listen, because I'm going to make a statement. It's going to be really short. But it's got a lot of punch to it. He said, all you folks that say you're with Abraham and all this stuff, he said, before Abraham ever was created, and you say you're adding words, no, I'm not, because the meaning of was, before he was created, that's what it means. Before Abraham was, before he came into existence, and he came into existence only by creation, and I am the creator, but he says, I. Does he say I was? Does Jesus enter the battle and say, before Abraham was created, I was created? You see, he would have been entering, if Jesus would have said, before Abraham was, I was, he would have entered into the battle with them. But when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he dealt the final blow that they could do nothing with. Before Abraham was, say it together, I am. And to that, there was only one thing they could do. Kill him! Get rid of him! He is getting in the way of my way. See, folks, that's all that was happening. They could not accept Jesus because he was confronting their way, their pride. They did not like it. I cannot let this one. That's not, well, I can't do that. Abraham wouldn't have done it. God wouldn't have done it. Oh, they did. Every one of those, Abraham, Moses, and the law confronted their way. They didn't like it. Now Jesus is confronting it, and they don't like it. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And that covered past, present, and future. Because there's an ever-existing name there. I am. And what he said there is this, sorry. But Abraham doesn't compare to me. Folks, there's going to be two things that keep you from Jesus. We all say we want Jesus, but there's two things, or even Yahweh, God, and there's two things that keep us. Our pride with the overestimation of our own way, because we want our way. My friend, if you're out here today and you're fighting God with your way because you want certain things, it's time to give it up because it's keeping you from him. Second is an underestimation, a lack of trust in who he is. My friend, he can do anything in your life, and he is everything in your life, and he wants to bless you. But we've got to be willing to trust him and to stop underestimating his power. Would we be willing to take Jesus? They were not. And what does the last verse say? They took up stones to kill him. Now, it wasn't Jesus' time yet, and so he got out of there. It wasn't his time yet to give himself over. He had more work to do. And he has more work to do with us. My friend, this morning, would you not let your way get in the way of the way? Father, I pray that you would help us deal with our pride. And would you help us to surrender everything over? Maybe it's a surrender of our way. Maybe there's people in here and their sin and their what they're doing, and they don't call it sin. They just continue to live in it. It's not a big deal, and I'm okay with it. God, I pray that today they would stop with their way and get it right. Then, Lord, there's another group of people here that Maybe they're committing themselves as a way, but they're not trusting in the way. We're underestimating your authority, what you can do. Oh God, would you help us all to get right with our pride, and we would trust Jesus, and we would embrace Jesus, take Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. God, help us, recognizing that He is. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes.